Radio 102.3.
Welcome to the weekend, and welcome to The Barbecue Show with Steve Ray. The Barbecue Show is brought to you by the Alistair's Barbecue Supply and Pro Shop in Ottawa, by the historic Midnight Oil Service Station in Ottawa, by Michelin Tires, because so much is riding on your time, and by all the great barbecue products and supplies at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply and Pro Shop. I know you've got questions, and we've got answers, so pick up the phone, 423-267-1023, and let's talk some barbecue.
Three, two, one. That's right. The weekend has officially started because the Owl's Nest Barbecue Show is on the air. I'm Steve Ray. With me tonight, our special guest, retired Lieutenant Colonel Jay Land, all the way in from South Korea. We'll be talking with Jay in just a few minutes. Our number is 267-1023. If you call in and ask the question, what's barbecue like in South Korea? We got an expert right here. The expert is sitting right next to me on South Korean barbecue. If you've got the questions, we've got the answers. Grilling and food smoking this weekend. Our broadcast partner, Backyard Smokers Barbecue on Facebook, and the Dead Broke Barbecue Nation also on Facebook and YouTube. Joe Varner in the studio. Aaron is here. I'm here. We're in touch, so you get in touch as well. Follow Owl's Nest Barbecue on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And don't forget, all of the shows are loaded on the Owl's Nest Barbecue podcast on Anchor or any other place where you get your podcast. The Hey Steve, What's Doing Barbecue segment is brought to you tonight by Green Mountain Grills. Our new shipment just arrived, and in addition to more Green Mountain Grills, we have more racks, pizza ovens, covers, and even more accessories for your Green Mountain Grill. A big shipment just came in, and the guys have got it put up. And if you've got a Green Mountain Grill, by all means, if you want some stuff to go with it, like the pizza oven, we sold a pizza oven today to Josh over at one of the tow truck companies in Ottawa. And if you've been looking for the racks, we've got the racks. Now we even got the fold-up rack, and everybody's been looking for that. I bought a bunch of them this time. I bought a ton of them because they're hard to get, and we've got a bunch of them. So come on down tomorrow. We'll be there all day, and you can pick up one to fit your Green Mountain Grill. And they also fit other grills too. They're real neat. They're single racks. They don't anchor down. They just move around. You can put them in your grill or your smoker. You can put them to make, like, you want to say warm up some food or hold some food to be warm and get it off the flame. These things are just really handy to have for your outdoor cooking needs. And also, we have the new rubs from Butcher Barbecue in the store this week. The new coffee rub is in, and the brand new beer flavored chicken brine is in, and it's on the shelves. Come by the store and check them out. And of course, in the second part of the show tonight, we'll be going to Chandler, Oklahoma, and on David to talk with David Bosca of Butcher Barbecue on the Butcher Barbecue Hotline. He'll tell us all about those new products. And right now, we are awaiting word. We are awaiting word on the Pig Out Barbecue Night in Ringgold tomorrow. It starts at 6. It goes till 9 o'clock. The weather, and it's like, you know, Jay, it's like we put in, let's have a barbecue contest, and the powers that be upstairs said, okay, let's have a storm in the same exact hours.
Well, it's just like I'm flying to Key West, and here comes a hurricane. So, you know, yeah. I can't win for losing.
It's you.
Right,
it's you.
It is.
It's
you. You shouldn't have invited me to cook.
Jay, the newest member of the Owl's Nest Barbecue team. But we will hopefully have word on that before the show ends. We'll be able to tell you. But if it does go on, come on out. We'll be there. A little rain doesn't scare us. A little lightning, well, scares us a little bit, but we'll be there, and we'll be doing our best to serve. We're going to have brisket, pulled pork, and Jay's homemade sausage. I had one before the show tonight. Joe Varner, if you have not had a good sausage, you're going to want to check out Jay's sausage if you're down in Ringgold. Tell Scott, I know he lives down there, to come on out, and Jay's going to have his, what are they called, Jay?
These are called Jay's Hot Guts. They were developed there in Korea with, you know, if you're around me for 5 minutes, you know, I'm always talking about my brother from a Korean mother, Linus Kim,
yep,
who owns a Bama-style barbecue restaurant right there in Seoul, which is just really a mecca for us expats. So Linus and I worked together a couple of years ago and developed a line of sausage. He decided to name them Jay's Texas Hot Guts. So when I came back, I brought the recipe back with me, snuck it back home. Haven't changed anything. It's the same one that Linus and I worked on 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Still going strong. So a mixture of beef and pork, Then we cure them for a few days. We throw the smoke to them for a couple hours, and
Boy, they're good.
I guarantee you, they're gonna cure what ails you.
We'll have those tomorrow too. So brisket, pulled pork, and sausage. Great combination of food. Of course, have a side of slaw, chips, and a little Debbie Cosmic Brownie. It just wouldn't be a barbecue
without a
little Debbie Cosmic Brownie. That's our trademark, the little Debbie Cosmic Brownie. So come on out tomorrow. We'll have the go flight or no go flight tonight before the show ends. I hope here on the Al's Nest Barbecue Show on Talk Radio 102.3. Okay, let's get with it. Jay Land, retired Lieutenant Colonel. From Chattanooga, went to Central High School, and has been literally all over this world. And, Jay, I guess you kind of settled in, what, South Korea for your final tour of duty?
Actually, I was that was my next-to-last active tour. When I came out of command, I came back to Fort Eustis there in Yorktown, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Spent a year going through the retirement process, came back to the area, and had one of my old bosses that's now with a major defense contractor that he made me an offer I couldn't refuse, but I had to go back to Korea to work with a section that we had stood up a few years back. And I got to tell you, Korea is a wonderful place, but America is an even better place. And it is so good to be back home, no matter what folks think of what's going on. There is no place like home.
Absolutely. How big is Seoul?
Think of New York City.
Okay.
And you're going to cram about 20 million people.
Wow.
In the Seoul metropolitan area. It continually grows. It continually inches forward. It's a lot like New York City. It's got its own little boroughs, its own little neighborhoods. Itaewon, Myeongdong, every little section, the famous Gangnam from, I forget his name. Oh, he does it Gangnam style. There's an actual Gangnam. So I got to tell you, it is like the New York City of Southeast Asia. It's just a fantastic place to eat. There's Michelin-starred restaurants, every form of cuisine that you could imagine. If you're hungry in Seoul, South Korea, it's your own fault.
They, I wish I was a world traveler like you. If I go to Hickson, I feel like I've accomplished something, in my life. So I don't go very many places. It seems to me, however, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the places like Seoul, Tokyo, Hong Kong, they combine the latest of technological items and Western civilization with the ancient Asian traditions and dress and things of that sort. Is it like that in Seoul?
Seoul is one of the most technologically advanced cities on the face of the earth right now. A lot of people I met, especially from back home, they ask, do they have internet? Well, they've got probably the fastest internet, top three internets in the world. You walk out of your house, your phone works faster on the street than it does in your house sometimes, simply because of the connectivity they have. The camera systems, it's just incredible what they've been able to do. They call it the miracle on the Han. After the Korean War, the entire country was absolutely devastated. It was totally bombed to a rubble.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at what happened between the late 50s up to 1988, where they were still working to get out of a third world nation status, then came the Olympics. So when you had the 1984 Olympics, or was it 88? It was the 1980-something Olympics. It really rocketed Seoul to
the next level.
Mm-hmm. It's the 11th largest economy in the world right now. It is just an incredible place to live and work.
Let's talk about the barbecue scene. Now, you're a soldier, Lieutenant Colonel, so you got a little disposable income, I imagine, when you're walking around Seoul, a little pocket change. And what's the food cost like in Seoul compared to the United States? And tell us about what the Koreans eat that we might share, and what they eat that we might not share.
Oh, let's see. Food costs in Seoul, again, like New York, very expensive. But there are little pockets that you can go in, little alleyways and little shops that you can go in. Most of the restaurants are owned by mom and pop. There are not a lot of chains over there.
Mm-hmm.
You will see your share of McDonald's and Starbucks. They are everywhere.
Starbucks,
everywhere.
It's amazing.
There's something like 2,300 coffee shops in the Seoul central city limits. And I'm sure that's a very low estimate. But you can go have a $10 meal. It'd be about 12,000 won, W-O-N, which equates to about $10.50 U.S. And you can have a scrumptious meal that you will walk out and you cannot eat for several hours. But then you can also go down the street and find a Michelin-starred place and lay out $2,300 and get, you know, just a fabulous meal. It's just all in what you're looking for. You know, a few nights before I came back, my buddy Linus took me to a steak place. They specialized in aged beef, and we had a piece of Australian cow that was aged 160 days.
Wow.
It was incredible.
Was that good?
It was.
That's life-changing good, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, it's got an umami flavor to it that mm-hmm. you just can't really describe. You can't really understand. But yeah, you walk in and they've got just a rack of, it looks like Peter Luger's meat cellar.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got it behind glass and you can see it, and it is just awe-inspiring what these guys are able to do. And like you alluded to a minute ago, they'll use the most current technologies combined with the most ancient Asian ways of doing business and cooking. And it is just a sensory overload. Linus and I sat there for 2 hours over five courses, and you know, it is life changing good.
So what? All right, let's go through them. Let's go through the entire barbecue menu. Are there spare ribs or baby backs?
Not in the way we do it. They chop their ribs up in a different cut. Now, if you go to one of the American places like Linus Barbecue, Manimal, or a couple of these other newer places that have sprung up, yes, you can get American style ribs, but the Koreans cut their meat very differently. For instance, when Linus does brisket, he brings all of his brisket in from the States, simply because the way the packers cut meat, plus the beef is three times as expensive over there as it is over here. The Koreans cut meat in a different way, so he can't do a brisket in the way that one of us would be used to seeing it.
Is it smaller, the way they have to cut it?
Yeah, they cut it into strips and,
okay.
You know, they eat, you know, they just eat differently. You know,
well, how do they prepare it then?
Well, you have a big table with a hole in the middle of the table. They come in, they put a big block of charcoal, they put a grill over the top of it, and depending on how they've marinated it or seasoned it, you'll cook it right there on your table. You got what they call banchan, stuff like kimchi, dried radishes, garlic, a whole bunch of different vegetables, and you just grill everything together. Then you put it on top of a piece of lettuce, maybe a little samjang sauce or gochujang. It's kind of, think Korean, kind of multi-purpose sauce. They don't use ketchup. They use gochujang, mm-hmm. which is a very spicy paste. You roll it up in a little ball and eat it.
So it's grilled.
Yeah.
Basically, it's grilled, not
yeah.
smoked. Or
yeah, oh, yeah, it's grilled. Yeah, And that's why a place like Linus's has went crazy over there, because the Koreans are not used to eating, you know, a brisket that's been smoked for 13 or 14 hours. It has a totally different taste. You'll see brisket a lot in soup over there, but it's cut into small, thin strips so mm-hmm. that it can be cooked quickly and render there in the soup. And then you get a big pot of boiling hot soup, so hot it'll scald your tongue out of your head.
What about pulled pork?
You know, they don't do pulled pork.
How do they do their pig then?
Not how we do pig. They cut it up into pieces and roast it. They put it into put it into soup.
Mm-hmm.
There's a billion different ways to do a pig, but you really got to set aside the American, you know, kind of the American style of.
So open your imagination when you go there.
Say again.
Open your imagination when you go there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Grill. Yeah. You have to get out of your little food box.
Yeah. Yeah.
But once you do that and you get a taste of those food. Or those spices that they've worked in and the way they cook their food, it opens up, you know, a whole world to you.
Well, tell me about, you know, I know they've got a lot of pigs there in Korea.
That's the mainstay. That's the staple.
Yeah. What about chicken?
Chicken is big. Chicken is big. And I got to tell you, I hope the colonel doesn't kill me, but Kentucky Fried Chicken has nothing on good Korean fried chicken. They've just got a way of doing fried chicken over there that would make the colonel slap his mouth.
Really?
Yeah.
What do they do different?
I don't know. Right. There's a little, the polite word for an older woman there is ajumma. And right around the corner from my house was this little ajumma, had a little stall, not much bigger than your studio here. And all she served was fried chicken and pickled radish and kimchi. That's all she served. You could get 2 pieces, 4 pieces, 6 or 12 pieces.
Did they bread it and put it in the oil like we do?
Yeah, it's fried. It's incredible.
But tastes different.
Oh, it just
tastes better.
Yeah. I think. I'm sorry, Colonel. Your 11 herbs and spices don't have what ajumma had in it.
You know, the motto of this show is there's all kinds of ways to get to Chicago.
Well,
there's no right way.
This is a great way.
Hey, hold that thought. We're going to take our first break. We're going to be back with Jay Land, retired Lieutenant Colonel from the United States Army, who just got back from South Korea. And after that, we're going to go to Chandler, Oklahoma. We'll be talking with our buddy David Bosca from Butcher a Barbecue about the new products available at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Store. Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply is now a Royal Oak charcoal dealer, and we have the soon-to-be famous Royal Oak 100% charcoal pellets in stock. Charcoal flavor on your pellet grill, that's what you get when you get your Royal Oak pellets at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply in Ottawa. Jay Land, back in just a moment. Stay with us on the Owl's Nest Barbecue Show. Talk Radio 102.3. Hello, Brian Jarvis, Al Selvage, Anthony Jones. Anthony Jones in the house. I'm going to see you. Anthony's going to be with us tomorrow. He's going to have a team down in Ringgold.
Look forward to meeting him.
Anthony,
absolutely.
Yeah, Anthony's a good guy. Anthony, we're waiting word from Kelly on this thing. Hopefully we'll know before the show ends, so we'll just have to turn. You know, we're supposed to be in Ringgold tomorrow for the pig out. It's a special, I think they call them Ringgold Nights.
They do, yeah. Ringgold Nights, and I had not heard that. It's amazing. You know, my father grew up, born and raised there in Ringgold, tiny little town.
Yeah.
Now I go back there, and I don't recognize it. My whole family, my dad's side of the family's from there, and you go back there, and you see what a place Ringgold has become. It's just a beautiful place to live.
Well, they've done a great job with the downtown area, Tennessee Street, or Tennessee Avenue, rather. Yep. A real unique little small town. Small town America. Okay, lower the volume on your mics just a little bit. We can do that. Joe, we were just making sure everybody could hear us. I guess sometimes I get over. How about that? Is that a little better? Check, 1, 2. Check, 1, 2. All right, good deal. Joe gave us the thumbs up back at the studio. But I can't wait to Anthony says he's got the smoker started now, and he's chomping at the bit. He is chomping at the bit. I think if this thing gets canceled, we may have to get him some counseling.
Well,
he's ready to go.
We're going to have a lot of brisket.
Yeah.
A lot of brisket.
Yeah, we will.
We'll go feed the needy.
Well, Anthony, if this thing doesn't get pulled off, we can put our butts in the freezer. We haven't unwrapped them yet. But the briskets are sitting in the refrigerator, open, drying out. That's my method. And I'll be peppering and salting and garlicking them tonight before we go to bed. And Jay and I will be at the station bright and early tomorrow regardless.
Yeah.
Whether the contest and event is tomorrow night. And somebody will get the opportunity to buy one of the four prime briskets that we'll be cooking tomorrow. At the station, at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply. So
somebody's going to get some good brisket.
So watch our Facebook page, and just know that if you want to, we'll put it out there, and if you want to speak to it, we'll save you one. So either way, it's going to be a fun day tomorrow.
I agree.
We're going to be cooking tomorrow. I don't care about the weather.
Anytime you can grill a little bit of meat, it's a good day.
Yep, and Anthony just said if they get rained out, he's having brisket for supper, and that's not a bad way to do it anyway. So, Joe, you may have to drive your motorcycle over from Saudi and come get some brisket with us. Joe's all about that. Nothing like brisket, man. I love doing brisket. I am the brisket whisperer.
Brisket whisperer.
The brisket whisperer.
Yeah, well,
I love it. I love it.
It's been a couple of years since I've had just a good piece of smoked brisket.
Now make sure you're talking to that mic, Jay, because we had to turn them down a little bit, and I want everybody to hear what you have to say.
Well, I'm on my best behavior.
And talk loud and talk proud. Just like you're getting ready to jump out one of those perfectly good airplanes.
No such thing as perfectly. If you've ever flown, on an Air Force One or Air Force aircraft.
Talk Radio 102.3.
Yeah, baby. Make sure you visit the Memphis section at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply in Ootowah. Malcolm Reed, Heath Riles, Mark Williams, Mark Lambert, Memphis Original Rub and Sauce, plus Barbecue Mojo Rubs. I'll tell you, it'll take you all the way to Memphis, just like Monta Hoople, the Memphis Rub and Sauce section at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply. We are speaking with Jay Land, retired Lieutenant Colonel, just back from South Korea. Jay, you were doing a little, after you got out of the service, you went back to work for the, a contractor, was it?
Yep, absolutely. One of the major defense contractors out there.
And how long were you there the second time? 2 years?
Yeah, right at 2 years on the nose. Flew in on June the 15th, and 2 years later flew out on June the 9th. So it was an interesting time with COVID. You know, you don't realize the freedoms that you have here in America until you're absolutely in lockdown, and the only place you can go is the grocery store or church. Mm-hmm. And they even lock down church after a while.
You know, we were talking before the break about the different proteins that we do here in the United States and how they do them in Korea. And Joe, I want to give you a program note. We're going to break in 4 minutes, and so we can go to Chandler, Oklahoma. Let's see, we've done ribs, brisket, chicken, and pork butt. Now you've got a passionate interest in sausage.
Yeah, you know.
And did that come from South Korea, or is that just from hanging around with Chris Bilbra and the guys up at Specs Meat up in Ootowah?
No, that came about with Linus. We were kicking around ideas one night on what we could put on the menu to kind of make it new and exciting. And he said, man, I've always wanted to do a sausage. And so we just got in his kitchen and started mixing stuff up and doing some research. And we spent about 3 months just kind of figuring out how to make sausage from scratch. And I just really, really got interested in doing it. It kind of became a hobby. I'd start messing around with it at the house, doing some other charcuterie.
Yeah.
There at the house, just bought books and started doing it. And so when I was home on leave last year about this time, I met Chris there at Spec Artisan Meats. We got to talking, and he said he does sausage in-house.
Yeah, he does, and it's fantastic.
Yeah. So, you know, we became fast friends, so I go over there and kick around. We'll make 10, 20, 30 pounds of whatever we want to make.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I brought some andouille over here with me tonight.
Yeah.
I just made the andouille. We grind everything. It comes straight off the animal. Everything is ground in-house. All the spices are mixed in-house. Everything is stuffed in-house.
Jay, I had no idea how good sausage could be until I had some a couple months ago that Chris made. You know, not using just the scraps and leftover. It was meat that was purposed for the sausage and fat that was purposed for the sausage, and it was mixed perfectly, you know, 80-20 or whatever it is you guys use. And Chris had one that he put a little wine in even.
Yep.
And that stuff.
Red wine and garlic.
It's off the charts good.
Well, we use pork butt. We don't use scrap. We use pork butt.
Yeah.
We use chuck roast beef. We dry age our beef and put aged beef in when that's what we want the recipe to call
mm-hmm.
for. But everything it's not a bunch of scraps. We grind fresh beef and pork specifically for that sausage that we want, and we measure it down to the gram
mm-hmm.
when it comes to the seasoning.
Yeah,
to the gram.
I watched him do that. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, so you know it takes a little bit longer, and then we stuff it. You know. All natural casings. We don't use any of that synthetic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We use all natural hog casings and stuff it ourselves, cure it us. The ones I'm going to be doing tomorrow, I've had them curing for 3 days now.
Mm-hmm.
Just waiting, letting the flavors bloom, letting everything kind of mix together and meld. They will have been cured for 3 days tomorrow. By the time we put them on the smoker, we'll hit them with a smoke for an hour or so, and then somebody's going to have some good sausage.
We'll finish them off on the grill, and they'll be unbelievable.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Simply unbelievable. Let's take another quick break right now. We're going to go to Chandler, Oklahoma on the other side of this break, and we'll be talking with David Bosca, America's Butcher, Butcher Barbecue. If you want a grill that will elevate your outdoor cooking area, then look no further than the Memphis Wood-Fired Pellet Grill available at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply. Now get this, 0 to 350 degrees in under 10 minutes, plus the built-in steak sear section will make your already amazing steaks just a little bit better. The Memphis Wood-Fired Pellet Grill, nothing else like it, available at my place, the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply in Ootowah. Coming up on the other side of this break, Jay Land will be with us still, and David Bosca, America's Butcher, the Butcher Barbecue. Stay with us. I watched him make that sausage. I couldn't believe how much much work goes in that.
Yeah.
I thought that you might remember, Jay. Aaron, we need to go to the to the dial pad. You want to get it? One. Hang on just a second. Let's see. Hang on just a second.
405, isn't it?
Yeah, where the heck is this?
There it is.
405-205-3270. There it is. There it is. Tom Ehide, welcome. Happy Friday to you.
Hello. Yep.
Hey, David.
Yeah.
Good morning, or good afternoon, I should say. How are you?
We're good. We're real good.
We're going to be talking about the new products, and we've got retired Lieutenant Colonel Jay Land sitting in tonight.
Nice.
With us as well. Jay, this is David Bosca, America's Butcher.
Man, it is great to meet you. I got to tell you, I used some of your seasoning last night on some chicken I threw on the grill. And
hang on, man. He's in. Oklahoma must be a noisy place.
Nah, we're at a swimming pool. One of our granddaughters got a birthday. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can, David. Give me a test. 1, 2, 3.
All right, cool.
Give me a test.
1, 2, 3. Doing a test. 1, 2, 3. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can now. That's great. That's fantastic.
Okay.
Can you hear him okay, Joe? Can you hear the phone? All right, good deal. All right. Our producer back at the studio says everything sounds great. Good deal. Good deal. David, I've already sold 2 bottles of coffee rub today.
Cool. Did you open it up and try it just on your finger?
Not yet. Not yet. I haven't had a chance. I put it out there and it got started selling. I don't open them if they don't start. Only if they don't sell. If they're selling, if they sell, I just believe them.
Okay.
Everything good in Chandler? I think that's all over the United States. Boy, you would think it would be. You think it's July 16th as hot as it is outside, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not as hot as it could be. We're normally bumping 100 right now. We've just been in the low 90s.
Yeah. Jeffrey Maxwell says hi. He says, I was supposed to text you his number, your number. Text him your number today. He went through Chandler, but I don't think he stuck around much.
Oh, okay.
You know, Dave, I got to tell you,
Jeffrey.
I love the grilling addiction rub. Steve gave me a couple of bottles of that a couple of years ago, and I've used those up. I took them to Korea with me, put them on all my food there when I was cooking at the house. I got to tell you, that's probably my favorite rub of any rub I've had.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. Yeah, I will say it's probably my go-to also. Yeah, I really like it. You need to try that coffee rub. It's finger tasting it, you're going to go, wow, that's coffee. But it's not that strong cooked. It really isn't. But it's got some nice sweetness. Hell, we can go over all that when we get out.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about that. And talk about the beer-flavored chicken brine. I'm real excited about that.
Yeah, you had me at beer.
Yeah.
Although I think we need a bourbon brine.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, everything goes better with bourbon.
All right. Stand by.
We need to and Talk Radio 102.3 WGOW FM. Talk Radio 102.3.
The Green Mountain Pellet Grill has established itself as the leader in popular price smokers. Low and slow or hot and fast, the Green Mountain Grill can do it all and at a cost anybody can afford. Simply, they're built better and they cost less by yours at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply in Ottawa. Just look out there. We got them out there every single day. And that big old, everybody asks, Steve, what's in that big container outside? Green Mountain Grills, it's full of them. Available at my place, the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply. Now we're running out to Chandler, Oklahoma, and on the Butcher Barbecue Hotline is none other than America's Butcher, David Bosca. David, how are you doing?
We're doing great, Steve. Thanks for letting us sit and chat with you. I like these Friday night evenings just sitting around a big old shade tree and talking.
Yeah, talking a little barbecue. David, I was going over, Jay just returned from South Korea. And we were talking a little bit of South Korean barbecue and with all the different flavors and all the different tastes. And lo and behold, yesterday, the UPS guy brings in four cases of rubs that I had forgotten. I even ordered from you. Two of them were the new coffee rub, and two of them were the beer-flavored chicken brine. I put the coffee rub out on the shelves today, and right off the bat, sold two bottles. Tell me about this coffee rub, what we can use it on, and how did you come up with it?
Well, let's start with what you can use it on, all right? Coffee rub is based mostly in the past. The history is, its lineage is beef items. We played with it on pork chops and really liked it. I can see it being great on prime rib. I haven't had a chance to cook it on prime rib. I can see it also used in chili, even some lamb. Oh, I think it'd be really good on lamb. But what it is if you just finger taste it, you're going to go, yep, that's coffee. But it's not bold and up front and in your face. There's just a slight amount of, and I mean very slight amount of heat, and there's not a lot. Don't get me wrong. You're not going to taste it and go, wow, that's hot. But there's got a little sweet undertone and some salt.
Mm-hmm.
I think the salt is what really helps it come through good. Is we played with this coffee rub. We had two or three different types of coffee, and we was playing with instant coffee for the longest time. Because in my mind, I kept going, I want something to melt and go straight into the meat. And it was good. Don't get me wrong, it was fine. And finally, my co-packer that I use and everything said, let us send you some real coffee that we have access to, and you blend it up and you tell us what you like. And they sent me some, and we tried it, and I'm going to tell you what, that changed it. I don't know what from real coffee to instant coffee was, but instant coffee is just spray dried coffee. You'd think it would be just fine and dry and melt and all that, but no. That changed it, and I said immediately, that's what we need right there.
So
we just adjusted the salt a little bit, and that's what we went with.
So the coffee actually does melt into the meat.
Yes, it does. Yep.
And David, well, go ahead, Jay.
That wasn't me.
Oh, David, does did it start as a spice on brisket somewhere? Is that where it got started?
Not for me, but maybe somewhere it did. I don't really know as far as the true history of who was first, who was second. I don't know. I do know that I have been approached by, it's probably been a couple of years, from a couple other stores. It's like, hey, we'd sure like for you to try this. We carried one time, and they've went out. We can't find a good coffee rub. And I did a lot of researching on the internet, and wife and I played with it quite a bit there at the house. And I'd put paprika, and I'd put salt, and I'd do different things with it. And ours is a pretty basic. There's not a lot of ingredients on the list. I think four, maybe five ingredients. Mm-hmm. That's it. And yeah, and it was a combination of how we blended them is what I really liked. The different types of salt we got in it, a flake salt and a ground salt, the paprika. That really made all the difference in the world.
Well, how does it stand up to your beer brine? I got really interested when he told me about your beer brine. I'd love to hear about that one.
Well, the beer brine is a world of its own. It's kind of my play on, you know, everybody loves in the backyard cooking that beer butt chicken.
Yep.
Well, I'm a realist, and I'm going to tell you, you don't get a ton of moisture and or flavor maybe from a beer can shoved in the cavity of a chicken.
tell it all, brother. Tell it all. I'm with you.
But I think it helps, but I don't think it just blows up the flavor. So my philosophy with this particular brine is, number one ingredient is the beer flavor. I didn't want to go salt and sugar and other flavors and everything. If I'm going to call it something, that's going to be the flavor of it. That's just, you know, that's how we roll on all of it. So the beer extract is the actual flavor that's in there, along with some orange peel, just a lot of fun stuff. I'll let you read the label on it when you get close to it. But my whole thought was with that was I made a really good brine that'll save a lot of money with guys and gals being able to pop open a six-pack and drink it themselves and not waste it in the chicken.
Well, you know, like I mentioned on the break, we need to start looking at a bourbon brine. And I should probably come out there to and help you, you know, figure out exactly which bourbon through some taste testing.
Okay, I see
where
you're going with it. I smell what you're stepping in.
Hey, David, let's use these products on some meat. Like, let's say if I'm going to do a brisket, like we're going to do four for an event we're having tomorrow night. Jay and I'll be cooking them tomorrow, and of course I've got the Butcher's Barbecue Steak and Brisket Rub, my go-to rub on all my briskets. Can I incorporate that coffee rub with the steak and brisket rub?
You can. I would use the coffee rub first.
Uh-huh.
That way it gives it a better soak in. The steak and brisket, it's got salt, pepper, garlic, and just a touch of lemon zest.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that would harm it. No, I don't think it'd harm it at all. There, you know what I'm saying? Not in with that coffee, but what you'll get with that coffee rub is when it's cooked, it just is a richness. You don't eat a piece of meat and go, oh, that tastes like a morning coffee.
It's umami.
No, it doesn't. For what other folks call it, it's that earthiness. It's that richness of natural flavoring. And it really helps assist bringing that out.
So if I were to use that coffee rub, say, now the way I do my briskets, my first thing I do is I trim them. And I cook them full packer, and what I will do is I put them in the refrigerator overnight uncovered, but the night before the cook, and I will season them up the night before, and I let them sit overnight and to kind of let the salt penetrate and pull some of the moisture out of that brisket. Is that okay to do that with that coffee rub?
Yes, absolutely. You'll be just fine.
Okay, so it won't give it an over the top flavor or anything.
No.
Okay.
It will not.
Okay. I can't wait to try this. I think this taste really intrigues me, Jay.
Absolutely.
Because that, you know, that kind of broadens. You know, David, that's what I like about your products. Your line of products. Number one, you don't stop looking for flavors. We've talked about that before when I asked you one time, do you think there's still a flavor out there that's going to just, you know, knock everybody's socks off? And you said yes, and you're kind of searching for it. And then, you know, like last year you came out with the barbecue mud, which has been a great big hit, and now the coffee rub and the bird brine, beer flavored bird brine. What am I going to mix with the bird brine to brine it? Is it going to be water? Can I do apple juice? Can I throw some bourbon in it?
Absolutely on any of it. I have done water. I have done juices. I didn't see any ill effects from it. I've not tried the bourbon in with it because I was trying to make sure or to see how much beer flavoring still come through with either a sweetness or neutral flavor like with water.
Mm-hmm.
But that'd be interesting. If you try it, I'd like to hear myself also. Yeah.
You know, I mentioned this earlier, your griller's addiction. Truthfully, I think you could have stopped with that one right there. There's just something about that I think is just, you know, I use it on everything. So, you know, it's going to be exciting to see what the beer brine and the coffee do. But this is going to be a good cook tomorrow.
Well, David's line, you know, it includes the sauces. His sauces are just fantastic. One of them, David, I forgot which one. One of them placed. I don't know. Did it win the Jack Daniel's or it was in the top five?
In the sauce?
Yeah, in the sauce category.
We've won a first. We've won a second. We've won a fifth.
Yeah.
Jack with our sauce. Yeah, we've won three, maybe four sauce awards at the Jack with it. Yeah.
And there's folks, there's a ton of sauce out on the market. So, if you're pulling down the awards, you know, anything that tastes good to the judges is going to taste good at in the backyard, I assure you. And then you've got the grilling, flavored, the butter flavored grilling oils, I should say.
That's good stuff too.
And that is fantastic stuff. What gives you the inspiration to come up with these things? Because, you know, a lot of guys just kind of sit on their hands and they just sell what they got. But it seems like you're always out there looking for, you know, the next big thing.
I've never been known, and I'm going to throw my own barbecue mud on my own mud. I've never been known to be a copycat when it comes to product. Do we have like products like other people? Oh, I'm sure of it. But I promise you, I've never copied anybody else's stuff. If anything, they've copied ours.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's my inspiration is I listen to the stores like you. I listen to what's going on. The honey oil came from another store. He told me, the owner said, hey, I'd sure like to get a honey flavored oil. Really? I thought I never would have thought of that. And I came out with it. And when I first got it, I sent him a case and he just thought it was phenomenal. So we came out with it. That's what hit his notes. And I'm going to tell you, I'm playing right now with one other oil that I think will be a big hit. I'd like to get it out here in the next 60 days because once that hits, it's time to, another 60 days, it's time to start thinking about Thanksgiving and Christmas, not releasing new items. So,
yep. Is it a bourbon oil? A bourbon oil?
Do what?
A bourbon oil?
No, I'm starting to see a trend.
I think Jay needs counseling.
There's a lot of people that think Jay needs counseling. What are you talking about?
But the inspiration to come up with it is, I just like to cook and I like flavors. So yeah, I just come up with different things.
Well, the coffee rub is going to be a hit, and I can't wait to get it on some brisket tomorrow. Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, we're gonna do one with that coffee rub bar. We're gonna hold one back, and we're gonna put it on a good one too, Dave. I've got three primes. I've got one choice, and we're gonna put it on that prime, and we'll let you know how it turns out. The chicken brine, that'd be good for turkey too, won't it?
Absolutely, it would. I've got that on the little icon on the side for chicken or turkey. Absolutely, it would be. And a great way, especially coming into the holidays,
yep.
Just around the corner.
Yeah.
If you use a turkey stock, man, that would be phenomenal. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
I could see brining one of those turkey breasts that's so perfect to go on the smoker.
Yeah,
brining that overnight and letting it go. I bet even the coffee would be good on a turkey.
Hey, what about that, David? The coffee rub on something else other than a brisket or beef?
Yeah, we've done it on pork chops. We've done it on chicken, and it was good. It was really good. But I haven't done it on turkey, which I can't imagine it being that much different than we did it on some white meat. We did some chicken breast. So mm-hmm. I can't imagine it being too much different.
Well, yeah. I'll send you a note, man.
Do that. I'm all in. I like knowledge.
Knowledge is power.
We had one of your friends on last week, Megan Day, another Fast Eddie disciple like yourself. We were talking about the new Royal Oak charcoal pellets. I know you and I have spoke about them. Have you had a chance to use them yet?
No, I haven't. This last weekend, a team that was right across from me was actually using them, and I was quizzing them a bunch, and actually. This last week, her and I were, and a bunch of other folks, we were up in Fargo, North Dakota, doing Barbecue University for a chain store, and I was asking her a lot about it there, and she is really liking them. So that's good. That was good news, I thought.
Yeah, I do too. Hey, hold that thought. We'll be right back. We're going to take our last break of the evening. We are talking with David Bosca, America's Butcher from Butcher Barbecue, and also our special guest filling in for Jeff Maxwell tonight is Jay Land, retired Lieutenant Colonel that's just returned to the States from South Korea. And, David, if you want to know anything about South Korean barbecue, you think of some questions here during the break, and you can interview David for the last segment. When I want plenty of flavor on your barbecue, you want Uncle Steve's Shake Rubs. Plenty of flavors to choose from that are time-tested by the greatest backyard barbecues, just like you. Get Uncle Steve's rubs at Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply in Ooltewah. They're easy to find. They're right next door to Butcher Barbecue's rubs in the store. We'll be right back with David Bosk and Jay Land. Stay with us.
So should I call you Uncle Steve now?
No, they're not mine. They're another guy. David, you know, people come in the store and they ask me all the time, they go, are any of these yours? And I tell them, I said, there's no way I can make anything as good as what you make or what any of the other the pit masters make, because you guys know flavor. And just tell people, you've told me this story before in kind of an abridged version, what you go through with the different flavors on your table when you're trying to come up with a rub.
Oh, yeah. I've had my very first rub was our premium rub, and those little paper Dixie cups you get like in your bathroom, I remember mixing them up, and I'd label them 1, 2, 3, and I had about 75 to 100 of those scattered across my counter. And I'd had notes, and every one I had written down exactly what was in it. And I burnt my taste buds out. I'd go through and, I mean, just taste it. 2-3 days later, I'd go back and try like maybe 5 through 10. And then a few days later, go back and do 20 through 25. And I continue tasting this stuff, trying to get it down to a certain 5 or 6. And then we start cooking. You know, you've got to cook with it. It's not just a finger test. Sometimes a finger test, it does a good job to give you where you want to start, but it's all about how it tastes on the food and the smoke and the grill. It's a combination of flavors, and one is better than another a lot of times.
You know, you hit the nail on the head. So many times people will sample a rub and they go, "Ooh, I don't like it." And I'll have to tell them, no, you don't like it out of the bottle. Take it home and put it on something and cook it. Get it hot. Put it into the harshest environment known to mankind, fire and heat, and watch how it melts into the meat fibers and in the proteins and how it changes the taste. And David, I'm gonna tell you the one rub I specifically mentioned to him is the honey rub. When right out of the bottle, you don't think it's, you go, that's okay. When you get it on a rib, it's a game changer for your taste buds. When you hit that rib with that sweet honey rub of yours, people cannot believe the taste, how it changes once it gets on that rib and it's heated up.
Yeah, it's the caramelization of the sugars and the salts and everything together. Absolutely. That's what we put on our chicken this last week, and we got a 180. We got a perfect score, and it was nothing but the honey rub. That was it.
See, that's fantastic.
I used the premium last night on some chicken thighs I wanted to get done. And just coated them. I let them sit there for a good hour. And, man, you know, it just had this nice, unctuous. Yeah, it was good. I can see, Dave, why you liked the premium the best.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, man, I'm sticking with the griller addiction.
The station here we go.
Those who think about it. This is Talk Radio 102.3.
WGOW FM.
Talk Radio 102.3 FM. The Talk Monster.
Myron Mixon, Matt Pittman, David Bosca, Rub Bagby, Mike Davis. You've heard of all these guys. And all these guys' barbecue rubs and sauces are available at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply in Ooltewah. The pros know flavor, and your favorite pros flavor is right here at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply in Ooltewah. We've got one of the all-stars with us, David Bosca from Butcher Barbecue, also with us, retired Lieutenant Colonel Jay Land, just on this side of the pond.
Finally,
back in Chattanooga, and David, have you had a chance to go to Korea or South Korea and sample any different flavors yet?
No, I have never been to any of the countries.
I gotta tell you, it will blow your mind how they're able to take just basic flavor and twist it around a little bit and you know, you come out of there with a whole different perspective, but also a huge appreciation for just good American food. That's how my friend Linus got started. You know, we were talking earlier about how you came up with your rubs. So, you know, just a lot of tasting. And it's just amazing listening to pros like you and some of the friends I made along the way, how you guys are just dedicated to, you know, Steve and I are just rank amateurs when it comes to some of you guys. But
absolutely.
You know, it's just the basics. What tastes good?
Well, let me ask you this question, sir.
Sure.
What makes Korean barbecue Korean barbecue? I mean, you know, we see that scattered throughout the United States in restaurants, but what is it?
The name barbecue, when it comes to Korean barbecue, is really a misnomer. The closest thing, I think the reason they call it barbecue is because normally they bring a plate of raw meat to your table. You have a grate in your table. They put some charcoal in there, or it might be gas-fired, and you cook everything right there yourself. They give you little tongs and scissors, and you're cutting and you're in essence cooking it over charcoal right there at your table. You take you some vegetables, put it all in a lettuce wrap with some sauce, samjang, gochujang, a traditional Korean hot sauce. But it really got the moniker as barbecue, I think, from us GIs who had nothing better to call it, because we saw them doing it over wood fire right there on the table in front of you.
Yeah.
I think for me the biggest part I love about it is it's very communal. You know, it's you and five or six of your buddies. You're all sitting around a table. You got a table full of food, a table full of meat, whether it's ribs, you know, cut into different style cuts. You won't get a big slab of ribs. You're going to get cross cut ribs, short ribs that have been cut flanking style. You know, strips of chicken, pork, beef. And it's you and your buddy sitting there with some good Korean soju, maybe some Korean beer, and a bunch of vegetables, and you're there together working with each other and just enjoying yourself. So,
David, we've only got 1 minute left. Where can we find you on social media, on all the different platforms?
We have a Facebook page, Butcher Barbecue. We've also got a Pinterest page where we post a lot of recipes. We've got Instagram, it's Butcher Barbecue, and of course our website. But yeah, man, we try to scatter it all over and spread the love.
All right, very good. David, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. We will talk again very soon, and we'll keep you posted on the coffee rub, okay?
Hey, thanks, David. Hey, always remember, trust your butcher.
That's right. We got to go, man. We'll do it. Real quickly, I want to let everybody know the pig out is on for tomorrow, so we're good.
Yep, we're
so
coming.
it's a firm go on the pig out in Ringgold tomorrow. So you come to the square in Ringgold at 6 o'clock, and the Owl's Nest Barbecue will be there with brisket, sausage, and pork butts. For Jay and for Aaron, this is Steve Ray wishing everybody on the radio side good night. And good luck. Back on the life that you're leaving. Thank you, Joe. And he's gone. Jay, thank you so much.
You know, it was a blast.
If any of our friends here in Chattanooga are watching right now on Facebook, don't forget the Ringgold Knights pig out is on for tomorrow. So we'll be getting there at 4 o'clock in the morning, putting the briskets and the pork butts on,
it's
Jay.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a great time, and we'll see you there at 6 o'clock in Ringgold. We'll start selling. Come
six,
out and see
6
us.
p.m. You don't have to be there at 6 a.m. Come at 6 p.m.
6 p.m., that's right. We'll be there selling our barbecue. And there's a little contest there, too. So we'll have samples that you can buy for $1. It's going to be like a people's choice. So please, by all means, come out and see us tomorrow night. Come and talk to this guy, Jay Land, retired Lieutenant Colonel Jay Land from the United States Army. An interesting guy. He'll tell you stories about jumping out of perfectly good airplanes that are very, very interesting over some, what do they call those, hot zones?
Drop zones. Your opening is not hot.
Oh, okay.
You're getting shot at.
And tell everybody on the Facebook side, to you, Jay, thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
Always, brother.
Aaron, thank you so much. Good night and good luck.